Okay, Rabbi Isai, good evening and welcome. Tonight's episode, One Last Day, is about one last day. Maybe today is the last day. Nobody knows which day is their last. And that is kind of the theme of what we're going to be talking about today. Hashem should give us all long and fruitful, happy lives. But we have to live each day like it's our last. Now, that sounds very onerous. Doesn't sound very uplifting. Doesn't sound very happy. Person living with the shadow of death looming over them. But you'll see, this is the kind of worry and anxiety and concern that is positive and it's good. And it puts one in a jovial frame of mind and state of being, as you will see. Before we begin, I just want to gratefully acknowledge our sponsorship tonight, which is L'schus Tzvi Ben Breina. May he have a refuah shlema, and Hashem should give him long and happy years. Amen. So, a brief recapitulation. In the fifth chapter of Shara B'tochen, Rabbeinu Bechaya really focuses on giving us pragmatic trust distinctions. Like, what's the difference between somebody who does have B'tochen and somebody who doesn't have B'tochen? I mean, at the end of the day, whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyway. So he demonstrates to us in no less than seven ways how having B'tochen is necessarily going to change your life for the better. And we're in the middle of the seventh way. So the first six were fairly easy, with one episode per way. This is our third episode on the seventh way, and we're not going to finish tonight. But this is part three of the person who does have B'tochen. So if you're following along in the Kihat book, which in my opinion really, really mistranslates in this particular part of the Shar B'tochen, a very unfortunate way actually, almost like printing mistakes. Anyway, that will be on page 216. If you're following along the Torah Classics, it'll be on page 455 in the English, page 454 in the Hebrew. We're in the top half of either of those pages. And we're speaking about the person's worries or anxieties that are good. First, we say you shouldn't have worries, because the person's worried about what's going to happen tomorrow, but there is no tomorrow, either because the world changes or because he's not around anymore. And all of the things that most people worry about are actually a colossal waste of time. Not that the worry makes a difference, and not that in the end they'll necessarily be here to see it one way or the other. So the Rabbeinu Bechaya describes what's a very bad idea. It doesn't serve you well, and you should avoid it. And if that sounds intriguing, please go back and watch the last two episodes. Here, Rabbeinu Bechaya does something quite unusual. He says, now start to worry. Really? I thought this was about conquering anxiety. I thought this was about getting rid of worries. Says the great Rabbeinu Bechaya, as we continue the seventh trust distinction, Avol, da'agosoi, ve'evloi. However, his daga, which usually translates as worry, and evlo, which we previously translated as maybe grieving, maybe mourning, maybe unhappiness. We had a variety of ways in which the Mefarshim translate the word evel, because typically in evel, a mourning is something that happens when you lose somebody. You don't mourn over lost opportunities per se. But very interestingly, here it seems that the word evil is to be taken quite literally. And in the Kiyot edition, I don't even know what they're thinking. They wrote, his worries and grievances. I have no clue of what they were thinking when they translated that. I think it's actually a printing mistake. It's not a grievance. You're not angry at anybody. All of the other English translations will speak about his worries. He worries and grieves. In the Art Scroll, he says, concern and grief. And the reason is because, as we're going to see, the Neder B'Kodesh, who previously was reluctant to translate this as grief or mourning, here he uses exactly that terminology. The first thing that I want to share with you is the words of the Pas Lechem. The Pas Lechem says, what part of life is Rabbeinu Bechaya now addressing? He says, Neged Asei Tov in Sur Meira. The things you should do and the things you shouldn't do. In other words, the things that we actually have a choice over. We do not have a choice of what color shirt to wear. There's a whole lot of things that influence those choices. And in theory, if you could input all of the information of that every experience that happened to somebody from their childhood, the computer would be able to tell you what kind of shirt you're going to wear tomorrow. Right? Which, of course, is it's basic Newtonian science where everything's predetermined, predeterminism. And the only reason that we disprove Newtonian predeterminism is because of the Heisenberg principle of uncertainty, but that's like a detail in nuclear physics. That's because of the nuclei, which is impossible to predict when something's in a state of velocity or movement. But that's not what we're talking about here. Over here, we're talking about the concept of doing what Hashem wants or not. And the only reason that I will tell you that I am 100% certain that we have the freedom to choose is because Hashem says so, because I believe it. And Hashem says so because in His Torah, He tells us we are expected to make choices. And He tells us that we will be held responsible for our choices. That means that even if somebody influenced me in the wrong way, and I can blame it on my friends, and I can blame it on my boss, and I can blame it on my parents, and I can blame it on somebody else, it doesn't make a matter who I'm blaming things on. At the end of the day, I am responsible. When the first human being whose name was Adam sinned in a very, very serious way, what did he do when God confronted him? He said, it's my wife's fault. And that's why he's not about tshuva. Till the end of time, he is not the paradigm of tshuva. Why? He never took responsibility. By the way, when his son killed his brother and he was confronted by God, what did he do? He feigned innocence. I don't know what you're talking about. Who? Me? My brother? What am I, his keeper or something? And then he says, what, is my sin too big to bear? But ultimately, he takes a little bit of responsibility. A little bit of responsibility. We have to take responsibility. We have no right to pawn off our guilt on anybody else. And the things we do well, that's a choice we made. Baruch Hashem. A Yid can be happy, joyous, that he or she made the right choice. That's where Bechira Chofshis comes in. The freedom to choose is only in areas that are part of serving Hashem, which the Paslechem, paraphrasing the book of Psalms, says, Asei Tov in Surmira. David HaMelech says it different. David HaMelech says, Surmira v'Asei Tov. Okay, we're not going to go into exactly the nuances of why he says Asei Tov in Surmira and why David HaMelech in the scripture says it otherwise, but it's clear that he means to focus on the things that we have Bechira for. Those are the things that, my dear friends, those are the things we're talking about now. Da'agosoi, if a person is worried. Ve'evloi, says the Neder B'Kodesh. Listen carefully because his words are extremely important. He says, evloi is a state of grief, a state of mourning. What are you mourning for? Noifol al-dovar ha-nevad mimenu. Something which you lost. What did you lose? You didn't lose, thank God, a loved one. What did you lose? He says, you lost the most powerful and precious commodity that any human being is ever given. What is the most precious commodity we have? He says, the most precious commodity we have is time. And we can never regain the time we lost. V'kvar avru hayamim, the days have passed. V'cholfu, you're on to a new era. V'kotzer behem, v'choivas habayir baruch hu, and you cut things short insofar as your obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And your obligation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu has nothing to do with how well or how not so well somebody else did. Doing better than the person next to you is irrelevant. The only question is, are you doing as well as you could do? So if you could do 100 and you did 99 and everybody else did 50, you're a failure because you didn't do 100. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the koyach to do 100, and therefore you have to do 100. And if you didn't do 100, then you left wherewithal and opportunity and time on the table. That's a problem. And he makes a statement in Eder B'Kodesh, four powerful words. Ein pseida ki pseida sazman. There is no greater loss than the loss of time. That is the single greatest loss anybody could ever possibly suffer. Can never be made up. And he says, see if any questions here. And he says, Yitzi from LA wants to know, where's the medrash that Adam learned tshuva from Cain? This is not the subject of tonight's class, Yitzi. I told you, your questions have to be on mark if you want me to answer them. I love you, but you got to ask questions that are connected. So he says like this, Hakosov Heid, the scripture gives us testimony about the first Jew. And it says, Va'avrom Zokein Baba Yomim. Avraham is old and he's coming in his days, coming with his days. And I don't know what the source of the Neder B'Kodesh is, because he doesn't give us any sources. But I think that his source is the Zohar. Let me first read to you the words of the Neder B'Kodesh, who was the Rav of Yarburg, who wrote a very important Pirush on the Chavis HaLevavos, specifically on Shaar HaBetachin, only printed once, by the way. And I'm going to read to you his words, then I'm going to show you where I believe his source is. Two places in the Zohar. So he says, and I'm literally reading his words. He says, Hayomim imo, he came with his days. Meleim kol tov, filled with goodness, b'mitzvot Hashem, in the fulfillment of God's commandments. He says, chavilot, chavilot, bundles and bundles of goodness. Bundles of good things accomplished. So where does he get this from? Again, I don't know for sure, but even if it's not a source, this is great stuff. So the Zohar, this is the Zohar Chelek Aleph. It's Parshas Chayesara. Daf Kuf Chof Tes Amad Aleph. In the traditional print of the Zohar, it's page 149, Sardei. The Zohar says like this. Tochazi, let us come and see. He says, let's see. Avraham itkariv ligabe. Avraham drew himself close to God. Vituiv te delay, have a kol yomo bahai. His desire, his yearning, his craving was all his days to draw close to Hashem. That's what interested Avraham Avinu. He didn't chase the almighty dollar, he didn't chase fame, he didn't chase fortune. He was interested in one thing. In Avraham Avinu's life, one thing, one currency he dealt, and that was, is it making me close to God or further from God? That's it. That was the only question he asked. V'lo itkariv Avraham b'yom achad. Avraham did not accomplish this extraordinary closeness with God in one day. Or b'zim nechada, in one swoop. Elo, rather, says the Zohar, oy vadoi krivale b'chol yoima midarga ladarga. He did good things day by day. He climbed the ladder of goodness. Ad di istalak b'darge kadhavesiv, until he reaches a level of perfection, this level that he reached when he became old. Va'o'al b'dargin iloyin kidekochozi, and he reached the highest levels as was appropriate for Avraham. So Avraham Avinu is a life of toil, a life of devotion, a life of commitment, a life of diligence, day by day, hour by hour. Avraham Avinu does the right thing. How do you know this? The Chsiv says the Zohar, because it is written, Avraham Zokin, Avraham's old. V'chadein bo bayomim. And what does it mean he comes of days? Be'inun yoimin iloin, he comes with days, meaning supernal days, holy days, days as they are, as they should have been. Be'inun yoimin diyadin, in these days that he knew that Avraham Avinu filled them with the Raza de Behemnusa, with the secret and the mystery of faith. And the Zohar goes on to say that you should know that that which tzaddikim could accomplish by living a perfect life, by using every single opportunity that's available to them, a Baal Tshuva can accomplish in a very, very swift way. And we'll talk about this much later on. Zakoyin inun mareihoin dischuva, the masters of teshuva are very fortunate, are very, very, very lucky. In one moment, in one day, in one move, so to speak, they are able, kriven legabe HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they're able to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's not, but that's not Avraham's path. Avraham's path is one of diligence. Avraham's path is one of devotion. Avraham's path is one of continued efforts day by day. That's how Avraham becomes great. That's how. So if Avraham would lose a day, miss a day, you know, sleep in one day, Avraham wouldn't reach Avraham's level. Because Avraham only reached his level by using all of his days. Now, the Zohar is much more explicit later on in Parshas Vayechi. The Zohar says like this. The Zohar says, Rabbi Yehuda expounded on a verse which is found in the prophecies of Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu HaNavi, in very, very sharp prose, this is Isaiah 42, verse 18, he says, Hachareshim Shamu, will the deaf finally listen? Ha'ivrim Hibitu Lirais, will the blind finally see? What is this, like a joke? He's making fun of people who are deaf and blind, Rachman al-Tzan? No, Rashi says, Al Yisrael Aweimer. He's speaking to the Jewish people. He's calling them deaf, and he's calling them blind, not physically deaf or blind, willfully deaf or blind. Hibitu means, will they look deeply? And the Mitzudas David explains, Atem Yisrael, you, the people of Israel, says the prophet Isaiah, Hachareshim Mishmoya Dvar Hashem, who have made yourself deaf and unhearing for the word of God. Ha'ivrim Iliris Mitzvah, those who are willfully blind to see his mitzvah. Shomu Me'atov Habitu Liris. Start listening, says Yeshayahu. Start to see things the way they really are. As Rabbeinu David Kimchi Radak says, Eich takshu levavchem. How do you make your heart so hard like this? Velotishmali, you don't listen to me. Lahitiv drachayim, I'm telling you the word of Hashem. I'm telling you what Hashem expects you. You ignore me. And not only ignore me, Ela sha'atem einrim l'nevi'a, you say to my prophets, sha'atem chareshim. Didn't hear you. Sorry, I didn't hear. I didn't notice. I didn't see it. When I was a yeshiva student, there was an older man. I say he was an older chassid. And he was very wealthy, and he was also a little bit hard of hearing. But sometimes he was willfully hard of hearing. So somebody, so when they were asking for a donation, he used to say, Hardash, I can't hear you. And they would, the person would make his pitch a second time, and one of his famous lines was, usually when I don't hear the first time, I don't hear the second time either. That was his alibi. I don't hear, I didn't hear. Well, I mean, that's fine. But this is exactly, says the Zohar, what Yeshayahu Navi is saying. So listen to what Rabbi Huda says. This is the Zohar, also Chilik Aleph, Daf Reish Chav Dalet, page 224. It's in Parshas Vayechi. The Zohar says that these words of Yeshayahu, Ilein Bnei Nosha, Deleitzaisein, Lemeluli Araisa, these are people who are not listening to the word of Hashem. V'loi Pikhin Udnayu Lemishma. They are not opening their ears to be able to listen to the command of their Creator. Ha'ivrim, the lemistaklin lemidna. The people who are not looking, they can't, they hear, no, they didn't hear, they didn't see, they don't know. Did you say something? They didn't hear anything. The habachol yoyme v'yoyme kruza nofik v'kari. Every day there's a broadcast going out. And this is the famous broadcast which is talked about in Pirkei Avot, in the sixth chapter, Perikin Yon Teira, Oilehem Libriyas Mel Ben Ishot Teira. What was the people? They're ignoring Hashem's word, they're not learning any Torah. V'les man de'yishgach, nobody's listening. And here the Zohar says some incredible things. The Tanya we learned, Inun Yoimin de Barnash. What are we talking about? We're talking about the days of a person. Listen, my friends, carefully, because the Zohar gives us an illustration of how a person is supposed to view his or her life. Kad Izbere Bahu Yoima de Nofik La'alma. On the day a person is born, do you ever hear the expression, on the day you're born, you have your whole life before you? The Zohar says, on the day you're born, your whole life is arrayed out for you. All your days are set out. All your days are set out. And all the days, the Mefarshim explained, this means that there are sparks to elevate. There are things to accomplish in every one of those days. Kulu kaimen bekaimayu. All the days are there. Then what happens? Va'ozlin v'tosin ba'alma. And then the days, so to speak, they move. They fly into this world. And these days are nachtin. Each day lands on its day, meaning the energy of each day. Think of like a film strip, you know, each day is like a separate box. And each frame lands on its frame, it comes to its place. And every day is independent. Each day now is independent. First, all the days come together. A person's whole life is in front of him. The person's born, his whole life is placed in front of him, all the days. Then the days start coming individually. And the thing goes like this, you see, the Zohar says. The question is what you do with that day. Each day comes and each day warns the person. You have something to accomplish today. Fix this day. You know, the Rambam writes in his Akdama to Mishnah Torah that there are 365 negative mitzvahs. And the message is that every day of the year, 365, tells you don't do any sins in me. Not in me. A different day of the year. Not in me.
You're so young, you're so innocent, you don't have a chance, you're behind to begin with.
Good, so then obviously a person has to do what he or she is expected to do as a child. There's a maimer from the Mittler Rebbe. The Mittler Rebbe says you have to do tshuva for Avedis before Bar Mitzvah also. Every one of us at a certain time starts to make some kind of choices. Are you held fully culpable? No, not till Bar Bat Mitzvah. Okay, obviously, bringing that all into account. So it goes like this. By the way, the Rebbe asked a question about Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu wasn't serving Hashem all the days. He only recognized his creator when he was 3 years old. How can you say he has all the days with him? Avraham Avinu did with each day what he was able to do, to the best of his ability of that day. Obviously, a baby is just crying and pooing. What do you want to the baby? Nobody has any complaints to the baby. That's not the baby making any choices. Obviously, it means every day that you're able. And the Zohar says, "V'chad ha'hu yoyima osi v'izole," the day comes and warns, make sure you use the opportunity that I'm presenting with you with. "Ubar nash ovid ba'hu yoyima choyva kome more." And when the person doesn't use the day properly, he then sins against his master. And what happens? "Ahu yoyima solik b'chisufa," that day, imagine if like a day is like an entity, the day hangs his head in shame and he goes before God to give testimony that you didn't utilize him well. You had a day, you blew it. You didn't do what you're supposed to do. "V'koyim bilchadohi levar," that day is separated from the days of your life. It doesn't line up with the rest of the days. It's a day which is on the outside. And then we learned, "Basar dekoyim bilchadohi," after this day is now taken out of circulation, "Yosef ad the barnash ovid minei tshuva," he nebach sits a lonely day, a forlorn day, a separated day, until a person does tshuva. Until a person does zocha, if a person merits, tavahu yeim elasrei, he brings that day back into the fold. When he does tshuva, he brings that day back. And now he regains that day. Loi zocha, he doesn't merit, hahu yeim nochis, then that day goes, and it finds partners. And it brings negative energy away. And I don't want to spook you out. I'm not going to read the rest of the Zohar, but it's not it's not exciting. It's not my way of getting you to do tshuva. The Zohar says very sharp things about that. You have a day. The day, he's ashamed and embarrassed. He's going to give testimony. That's exactly what we're talking about. So what if a person lost a day? Say, I lost a day, big deal. Tomorrow's another day. Have you had people say that? Tomorrow's another day. Absolutely. But what are you doing about today? He says, today is a day that if you lost that day, you have to grieve the loss of that day. A person, God forbid, loses a loved one, they grieve. What are you grieving for? It's your fault. What are you going to do? You lost. I feel bad. Can't go to somebody who's grieving. What are you grieving for? It is what it is. Get with the program. Shugana. Imagine a person walking to the shiva house, see people mourning. What is wrong with you people? You got to work today. Who's manning the store? I said, hello, we're just sitting shiva. It is what it is. Move on, man. This guy's insane. He's not a mensch. So when you lose time, a person is grieving for the time. He says, that you do have to worry about that. And if a person worries about his time, then he would behave differently. There's a beautiful ballad, like a poem that was written by one of the Spanish philosophers, one of the Jewish Spanish philosophers. He wrote like this. He says, "Adam doyeg al ibud yomav." A person worries about losing money. "Ve'ini doyeg al ibud yomav." He doesn't worry about losing his days. He says, "Yomav einam domav einam oizrim." Money doesn't help. "The yomav einam chayzrim," and days don't come back. "As lama adam doyeg al ibud domav ve'ini doyeg al ibud yomav." So why are people so grieving when they lose money, sitting shiva for the loss of wealth, and they don't feel shiva when they lose their days? Avraham Fried made a whole song about out of this little poem. But this is exactly what the Beinu B'chai is talking about. He says, that does have to give you pause. That is something you should be grieving over. The loss of time. And because you're grieving over this loss of time, what are you going to try to do now? U'mishtadel lifroya mashiach lifroya mem. Then you try to pay back. You try to make up. And that's the good news. The good news is something called tshuva. As we learned, the Zohar itself says you lost a day. Yes, you have to. If you're not going to grieve for the loss of that day, you're not doing tshuva. You have to actually care about losing that day. The Neder BaKodesh goes further. And he says that this is Kemaimer Zecherin Levracha. This is what our sages meant. And he's going to be speaking about a Gemara Mesechet Sukkah, where he says, Ashrei Liyalduseinu. Fortunate is our youth. So this is a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says that at Simchat Beit HaShoeva, there was people of repute. People of illustrious people would sing and dance. It wasn't just people who could jump up and down. It's a very illustrious convocation. And not everybody got to dance. A lot of people had to stand and watch. So what did they sing? What were they singing about? So the Gemara says, explaining what the Gemara says, that they were thanking Hashem. So Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis learned, says the Gemara. This is Daf Nun Gimel on page 53 in Masechet Sukkah. Yesh mehem aimrim, some were saying, Ashrei yalduseinu, fortunate is our youth. Shaloi biyash bisha es zikneseinu, it didn't embarrass our older years. In other words, we have nothing to be embarrassed of. We have no skeletons in our closet. Fortunate is our youth that doesn't have skeletons in our closet. Elu chasidim va'anshe maisa. These are the people who are chasidim va'anshe maisa, as the Mefarshim say, they didn't do any sins. There's a Gemara Maseches Bava Kama. The Gemara Maseches Bava Kama speaks about who is a chasid in the Gemara's term. It's not necessarily the way we use the term chasid today, but in the Gemara's terminology, the chasid, the pious one, was like the perfect one. The person didn't lose any days. And then there was other people. The Yeshayim, others were saying, Ashrei ziknuseinu. Fortunate is our older years, Shekipra es yaldoseinu, that we had a chance to make up for the days that were missed. We had a chance to make up for the past. And it says, this elu bali tshuva. These are the bali tshuva. And then Gemara says beautiful words for which there's a magnificent Hasidic song. Elu vi elu oimrim. Both of them would say, Ashrei mi shaloi chota. Fortunate is the person who has never sinned. Umi shechota yoshuv. And the one who has sinned should return, and Hashem will forgive him. The Ein Eliyahu says that this is actually a dispute in the Gemara. In the Gemara, in Maseches Brachos, there's an opinion on Daf Lamed Aleph, I think, the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan, who says that tzaddikim are higher. And then there's the opinion of Rabbi Avo, who says Bali Tshuva are higher. So the Ein Eliyahu says this was like the competition between the Anshei Chassidim and Anshei Ma'aseh and the Bali Tshuva. But the bottom line is that in both instances, days have to be spoken for. You can't just say, well, all right, it happened. Whatever happened, happened. Who cares? Let's let bygones be guy. Let's move on. Well, that's not actually a good idea. Because time is a real thing. And it's the greatest commodity we have. So either we filled our time the way we're supposed to have filled it and utilized it, or if not, we have tshuva to do. And then, of course, like the Zohar says elsewhere, we serve Hashem b'cheli yater with much more intensity because that's the gift of tshuva. And here the Neder B'Kodesh says something incredible. I looked for a source for this, but first I'll tell you what he says. He says, it says about Yaakov Avinu, v'yesof es raglov el hamita. He gathered his feet into the bed. This is the description of Yaakov's final earthly moments. It says, v'kona shraglohi la'arsa. I don't know why he uses the words of the Targum. I don't know what that does for him. But he says, Ritzoni loimar. He says, amitzvus asher dosh ba'akovav hichnasimai. This is the parsha, weekly parsha, parsha's Ekev. Why do we use the word v'hoya Ekev tishmon? It should say im tishmon, if you listen. What's Ekev? So Rashi tells us, and even though as the Maral of Prague says, what Rashi says is totally not pshuto shel mikra. It's like a homily. It's a beautiful sermon. It's not a simple read. And the Maharal says, Rashi has no choice because the Torah uses a very strange word, Ekev. What's Ekev? Why is the Torah? The word Ekev doesn't really, it's not the natural fit. So it's mitzvah sha'adam dosh ba'akovav. And the Medrash Tanchuma says even further, sha'adam zeirek, that a person throws under his feet. But the point is, he says, the business is vayesef raglov. Yaakov Avinu pulled all the little moments together. In other words, oftentimes people will say, I got the big stuff covered. They're the big things. I didn't do any big aver. I got the big things. No, that's not Yaakov's way. Yaakov's way was the little things. He doesn't say it here, but like it's brought down elsewhere that Yaakov Avinu went back for those little few tchotchkes. Because Yaakov Avinu knew that everything has meaning. And if Hashem gave him a little artifact, that artifact also has meaning. That artifact also has to be utilized to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that we're cheap. It's not a question of being stingy, chas v'shalom. It's a question of being utilitarian, which means that everything Hashem gives us has to be used. If we have a penny, it's to be used for a purpose. Whatever you have has to be used for a purpose. If a person has a talent, a person has an ability, a person has wherewithal, you have to harness it and use it for the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I didn't actually find a source for the Neder B'Kodesh's words per se, but here's what I did find. I did find that in Teresh Shloimeh, he cites the Kehelet Zuta, and the Medrash Agoda, as saying, Vayesef Raglov, this is connected to a pasuk in Kohelet, and in Ecclesiastics 9:11, it says over there that Loy Lekalom HaMerutz, it says, not for the light-footed is the race. The people who are nimble and quick on their feet are not going to win the race, because it's not really a race. It's a marathon. This is the origin of, it's a marathon, not a race. It's Ecclesiastics. So what does Shlomo HaMelech say over there? He says that you should know that the people who can run swiftly, that's all fine and good, but at the end of the day, you need to have that staying power. And he says, this is speaking about the concept of the person using his the lowest part of his reality. Every part of his reality has to be used in serving Hashem. And he said, this is what Yaakov Avinu, it says that when he got the good news that Hashem was going to be with him, it says that his feet suddenly lifted, right? Yaakov's feet carried him. And he says, Vayesef Raglav Elamita. So this is the Keheles Rabbah on the Pasuk. So there seems to be, maybe this is where the Neder B'Kodesh is drawing from. Maybe, I don't know, but that's what I came up with in my research. Bottom line is, he says, that this business of the feet, of the small mitzvahs, and he says, this is also the meaning of what says in the book of Shmuel Aleph, that it says, Ragle Chasidov, and Chasidov is written in the singular, and Rashi tells us this could be said about the plural, it could be said about a single individual, that Ragle Chasidov Yishmer, and Ragle Chasidov Yishmer, the Gemara Meseches Yoma, and Daf Lamed Ches tells us that this is about a person walking the straight and narrow. The Gemara says, if a person has walked the straight and narrow for long enough, Hashem is going to keep guarding his feet to keep walking the straight and narrow. It's fascinating. All these English expressions are actually rooted in biblical origins. They all come from Yiddishkeit. So walking the straight, it's right here. Ragle Chasidov Yishmer. And this, says the Neder B'Kodesh, is what Rabbeinu Bechaya is talking about. When Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that you should worry about, that you should be upset about. You lost money, you're going to lose the money anyway. The money is not going to help you. You lost an opportunity. You lost a relationship. He says all these things are replaceable, or all these things are not necessarily going to make a difference in your life. And you don't even know how much longer you have to live. He says what the only thing that really counts and that really makes a difference is when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbeinu Bechaya leaves no stones unturned. He translates everything, articulates everything. He says this is in the things that you can actually show on a spreadsheet. You did the mitzvah or didn't do the mitzvah, and then there's a whole part of our Yiddishkeit, our devotion to Hashem, which doesn't show up in numbers. What's that? How much we loved, how much respect we had, how much awe we had, how much we yearned. These are what's called the Chayves Halavaves. He says this is true b'nir'ehu u'b'nistarei. In different words, I mean, his literal words are that which is visible and that which is not. Even the things that are not visible. On the surface, you did the mitzvah. You ate the matzah. You lit the Shabbos candle. You affixed the mezuzah. Yeah, but how did you do it? Did you do it as you could have and as you should have? Or did you do it in a way that was lackluster? The Rambam says that the one who fulfills mitzvahs in truth is the one who fulfills mitzvahs with love. When there's an intensity and a love in fulfilling the mitzvah, an excitement and an enthusiasm in fulfilling the mitzvah. In different words, quality and quantity both matter. Using your day is not only a quantitative statement, it's a qualitative statement. And the question is, did you utilize that which is visible and that which is not? The Pas Lechem says, the nirim is maisim bepoil. Do action. And he then says, yes, chayves nistarim. What are the chayves nistarim? That's what's called chayves halvavos, the duties of the heart. So Hashem gave us a heart. Hashem gave us enthusiasm. Hashem gave us passion. How much of it did we use? And if we didn't use our time in the manner that we should have, that's a problem. Here's an easy example. There's a famous halacha that says we're mevatel Talmud Torah to hear the Megillah. We stop learning Torah in order to hear the Megillah. But that sounds very strange because the Megillah is Torah. It's part of the Ksuvim. It's part of the Jewish scripture. And we know when it comes to ksuvim, even if you don't understand what you're saying, it's not bitul Torah when you're listening to Torah reading. So what do you mean, mevatlan Talmud Torah? And the answer that the Acharonim talk about, the Rebbe spoke about this many times, is very simple. If a person could learn Torah on a very high level, and instead he's sitting in shul, and he's listening to children turn groggers, and he's desperately trying to hear each word to fill the mitzvah, so that's not the same level of Torah that he's accustomed to, or that he could learn by. So that's okay. Mevatlan Talmud Torah leMikra Megillah. That's okay. That's the kind of bittul Torah you're supposed to do. But if a person is reading or studying things which are easy, but Hashem gave him a brain and he's capable of learning in a profound and a deep way. But instead, he's just keeping it simple. He doesn't want to be bothered. He doesn't want to toil. He doesn't want to make an effort. That's a problem. Think of it this way. Here's the easy way to think of it. A person who has a tremendous mental acuity and a gift, and you know, let's say you could know that if this person would commit himself and devote himself, he would find a cure for cancer. We know that this is our shining star. And he says, you know what? I don't know. I want to flip burgers. Satan, flip burgers? Yeah, Monday night football, you know, it's a trailer park is good enough for me. I don't do that stuff. It's too intense, it's pressure. I want to live just an easy life. Would we be okay with that? I think we shouldn't be okay with that. I think that person is a crying shame. He is actually what we would call a waste of a life. Because he could have accomplished so many great things and instead he chose not to. So people will say, well, I'm not interested. I don't know. Do I have to serve Hashem on that level? Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says, yeah, actually you do. And if you don't, you're wasting your time. My, oh my, there's so many questions here. Yeah, that's how he explains Keneged Yemei Sechama. Yeah. Okay, see, you're making me crazy. See, you have to ask me a simple. So Yitzi is asking a basic question. It's a basic question Alter Rebbe deals with in Tanya, and he says that if a person is doing tshuva, he can remove the stain of his soul. But what about the missing opportunity? What about the missing opportunity? So the Alter Rebbe actually talks about this right in the beginning of Yeres HaTshuva. And the Alter Rebbe says that on the surface, lost opportunities, not performing a mitzvah taseh, it says you do tshuva and that's it. Negative mitzvahs, you need tshuva and Yom Kippur. And the Alter Rebbe says, don't think for a moment that lost opportunities aren't a big deal because it's easier to do tshuva for. He says, because actually it's not so simple at all. Ki ha'or nedar. The light is missing. You're supposed to bring in a certain volume of light into the world. That was your volume of light. It's missing. And the simple answer is, and it's not simple, but ultimately tshuva enables us to accelerate things to the point that we couldn't have in a natural or normal order. So tshuva is a marvelous opportunity for us to be able to accomplish things which can't be accomplished conventionally. But conventionally, we have to be worried about our days. And the path of tshuva begins with the concern for the loss of days, for the loss of conventional service to Hashem.
But you can make it up.
Yeah, you can make it up.
You can.
You can. That's the beautiful thing. Tshuva me ahava turns even zedoinos into zochies. Even the same things that were done that were bad ultimately can turn into good. But that's a subject for another day. This class is not about tshuva. Tshuva is a merdedika, unbelievable thing. This class is about we should start to give a hoot about the days we missed. That's what this is about. This is what we call the segue into tshuva. Yes, in the end, Hashem gives us gifts and we have unbelievable opportunities. But if it doesn't bother you, then it doesn't happen. Tshuva doesn't happen without things bothering you. The person who doesn't regret making the mistake is not going to actually ever fix the mistake. And he says, where does this all come from? Where does this all come from? Most people say, I'll do tshuva someday in the future. And he says, this comes from, because a person is mindful of his or her mortality. This is a big thing, mindful of mortality. This is what they call in Latin, momento mori. The monks in the Middle Ages used to keep a human skull on the desk. Don't try that at home. It's not a Jewish thing. We're supposed to respect human remains and we shouldn't keep it on our desk. But this is the idea that certain denominations of the faith that they used to worship emphasize very much remembering mortality. remembering mortality. And people did all kinds of things to remind themselves of their mortality. I don't know if this is true or not, but they say about Mayor Anshel Rothschild, of the great-great-grandfather, the founder of the Rothschild Foundation. He was a pious Jew. And they say that every day he would disappear for a couple of minutes. And finally, somebody wanted to know, where does he go every day? And they found that he has a coffin, and he goes and lays down in the coffin every day to make him humble, to remind in the end, rich man's grave, poor man's grave, a grave is a grave. And that's what he used to do to make himself humble. Now, the Rebbe Chai doesn't say you have to do that. But he says you have to be mindful of mortality. You don't have to be morbid. You have to be mindful. And he says you have to think of mortality. Choshev b'misasei, think about death. Uvoy yom ha'asifa, and the day in which souls are gathered. Now, that sounds redundant. Choshev b'misasei, think of his death. Uvoy yom ha'asifa. So the Pas Lechem says, Chas v'Shalom, there's no redundancy here. He says there are two different things that are being talked about. Number one, he says, a person has to avoid doing things which are negative. And when people do things which are wrong, it's enchanting. It's seductive. It glitters like diamonds and gold. It pulls you in. And it's like, I got to do this. I got to do this. That's the Yetzer Hara. Pulls you in. How do you stop that? He says, you stop that by thinking of your mortality. That's how you stop it. And then he says, but what about somebody who's undermotivated? He's not motivated to work hard. Whatever, he's a laissez-faire. He's not going to work hard. So he says, think of Yom HaSifa. What's Yom HaSifa? Yom HaSifa, when you come to heaven, you don't come with your money, you don't come with your stocks, you don't come with your bonds, you don't come with your golf clubs. What do you come with? You come with the Torah you learned, you come with the mitzvahs you did. So a person has a mitzvah, and he or she is lazy. So, I can't be bothered. And then you stop and remember, what if this is my last day? And what if this is the last opportunity and I'm going to present myself and say, what'd you do yesterday? Yesterday I was lazy. I couldn't be bothered. So he says, this is a motivator in a positive way. And this kind of follows the same idea of where the Pas Lechem says, Asei Tov and Sur Meira. Same ideas over here. The good do to avoid the evil. He says, that's why Rabbeinu B'chai uses the redundant expression, Choshev b'misasei u'b'yoyim ha'asifa. He says, on one hand, he says, a person has to deal with taivus, with lusts and cravings. And how do you get over that? It's so hard. He says, it helps to think about your grave. And he says, when it comes to the concept of ha'asifa, ha'kavona az asifa ha'nefesh la'alma, when the nefesh will go to its eternal reward, v'shneyem nitzrachem, he says, both are needed. Remembering the death of one's physical body, the taiva, the lust and craving and desire, is actually it stopped looking so enchanting. A person's worried about the pleasures of the flesh, but when he stops and thinks what the flesh looks like, eventually, and it doesn't take that long after death, it's all of a sudden not so enchanting. It's not so exciting anymore. It's like, oy. That's rotting flesh is not seductive. So he says, "Ubizikor nasifas hanefesh yidigal avinayisav." The person will worry about the things that might stop him from entering into his heavenly reward. It could even help for negative things. He says, a person is going to say, "I'm going to do this," and then what will happen? What happened with Yosef HaTzadik? Yosef HaTzadik had this tremendous desire, tremendous craving, and according to one version of Rashi, he went to do his thing. And what is the word? He says, he saw Yaakov Avinu's face. And what was Yaakov Avinu's face? What was he saying to him? He's saying to him that you're not going to be with the rest of the Shvatim. You're not going to be on the Choshen. You're not going to be part of Jewish history. And this situation will follow you into the afterlife. You'll be stuck with this in the other world. And then it's not going to look so enchanting. And then it's not going to look like so much fun. And that's how a person has to stop and be mindful. And this kind of mindfulness, he says, does not make you into a negative person. This kind of mindfulness is motivational. It's a pachtoi sheyivieu hamaves pisim b'yomei. Most people tend to think that they will live forever, but forever is a long time, so at least for a long time. You have a question? I can't tell you precisely because I haven't been there and I don't hope to get there anytime soon. But apparently, if somebody has a negative relationship like Yosef had, he could have been stuck with Potiphar's wife in the afterlife also. And that would not have been a good thing.
So you've got to make good with the relationship and resolve issues.
You have to resolve issues. I mean, to some degree, you have to resolve issues in general, because if a person doesn't resolve issues, but I'm not talking about resolving issues now. We're talking specifically about the taiva that Yosef had, what he was dealing with. But he was his the lust and the craving that he had. You know, he was a young boy, 17 years old, handsome boy with raging hormones. And this beautiful woman was throwing herself at his feet, and Yosef was tempted. But she was going to be with him in Elam Haba. It's in Mefarshim say. He would be stuck with her in Elam Haba.
It's all about choices.
Huh? Well, it all boils down to choices.
Or neutralizing those negative.
So we have the ability to overcome the lusts and cravings and desires that come our way. If it's not possible that a Yid should not be able to overcome those lusts, cravings, and desires. Because Hashem wouldn't give us a test we couldn't overcome. Does it mean it's going to be easy? Absolutely not. And we're tested. We're tested all the time. And the nisyonos are no fun. But we have to know we have the koyach for them. And therefore, a person shouldn't always be pushing off the inevitable reality of death to some kind of relegated to some distant future. And isn't that going to make you morbid? Isn't that going to make you depressed? Isn't that going to make you sad? Rabbeinu Bechaya says, actually, no, it won't. Let me tell you what it will do for you. Yosef lehishtadlos vizrizos. I'll tell you what it'll do for you. It'll enable you to try harder. It'll enable you to marshal all of your wherewithal and get all your engines firing. You'll have more zrizut. You'll seize the moment. Because who knows if another moment is coming. Lahochin seidol achrisei. You got to pack up for the journey, so to speak. And you don't take any of that with you. None of the materialism comes with you. The only thing you take with you, the Torah you learned, the mitzvahs you performed, and the devotions to Hashem that you were able to engender. Okay. So, here Rabbeinu Bechaya says something very interesting. He says, Lo yargish Alma sheyazmin le'olam hazeh. A person's priorities shift. Priorities change. And when your priorities, we have different priorities, all of a sudden we look at life differently. People pursue things that have no lasting inherent value. It's very important for them to get these things. But there's a little bit of honor, a little bit of fame, a little bit of fortune, a little bit of riches, a little bit of pleasure, a little bit of fun, whatever it is that people pursue. These are things that ultimately do not have any lasting value. So when a person starts thinking about mortality, what happens is that a person's perspectives on life changes. So you asked about relationships before. You know, I have a friend who lost somebody very close to him at a very, very young age. And he made a decision to change certain business practices to spend time with children and grandchildren. And maybe she should give him a long life. Why, he said? Because he said, I always thought when I'm going to become an old Zaidi, I'll then spend time with my grandchildren. And then he said, I realized my friend never became an old Zaidi. So therefore, I have to ask myself, if I had a week left to live, I have a day left to live, what would I spend that day doing? I've been to more deathbeds than most people. And I have to tell you, in nearly 28 years of being at deathbeds, I have never heard a person say, I wish I would have spent more time in the office. I never heard it yet. What I did hear from all kinds of people is, I wish I would have come to shul more often. I wish I would have spent more time with my spouse. I wish I would have spent more time with my children. I wish I would have spent more time with my grandchildren. I wish I would have spent more time with my friends. I wish I would have studied more Torah. That I hear all the time. But it's almost like sad. Because by the time people get it, it's almost too late to do anything about it. So you can't wait for you to be in that state, and then you're going to have those regrets. Rabbeinu Bechaya says, live like that now. Put life into perspective here and now. And he says, I'm not the first one to say this. Guess what? Our sages were saying precisely this. Now, Rabbeinu Bachai obviously is framing this differently. He's framing this differently because he talked before about anxiety and worry and grieving. The people grieve lost opportunities and lost money and lost fame and fortune and lost positions. They grieve these things. But really what they should be grieving is the loss of days, the loss of opportunities to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, he uses now the words of our sages, but he frames it very differently. He says, Vahu, and this could be Masha Amru, what our sages said. And of course, he was referring now to the second chapter of Masechet Avot, the teaching of Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, that Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus said, Shuv yom echad lefnei mitatach. Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus said, do whatever you want. It's all fine and good. Just one thing, he says. Just do tshuva the day before you die. That's all. Just the day before you die. And of course, the Gemara asks, Uper Shubo, and the explanation was, Yoshuv Hayom. What is Rabbeinu Bachai referring to? So the Gemara is found in Masechet Shabbos. And the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos, Naf Kuf Nun Gimel, says, Shalu Talmidav es Rabbi Eliezer. The Talmidim said to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, they said, what did you mean when you said, Shuv Yoyim Echad Lefnei Misasach? What did you mean? V'chi Yodeya Eze Yom Yamut? Does a person know which day he dies? Omer Lahem, he said, aha, you don't know which day you're going to die? They said, no. He said, V'kolshkein. How much more so? I was saying, do tshuva the day before you die. Well, you don't know you're going to die. Avada, he says, do tshuva. Yoshev Hayim. Why? Shema Yomas Lamacher. You don't know what tomorrow brings. And this way, he said, Nimtza kol yomav b'tshuva. All of your days will be filled with tshuva HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Va'af shloima omer b'chachmosa. Shloima Melech says in his wisdom. And this is the same chapter of Ecclesiastics, just the two verses earlier. It says, b'chol eit yobagadach levanim. Your clothes should always be white. Why should your clothes always be white? So first of all, Rashi says here, the kol shekein, b'shemepnei she'en yedeya ezeyem yomos. He doesn't know which day he's going to die. So there's two versions of this Rashi, whether it's Yoshuv tshuva or Toiva tshuva. Toiva tshuva yemech lefnei misasei. It's very good to tshuva day before you die, but you don't know which day that is. In that case, nimtza kol yomav b'tshuva yiyu. All his days will be filled with tshuva. And what does he mean when he says that's what Shlomo HaMelech says? So Rashi reads it as nishmatcha tahora v'nikia. Begedech levanim, clothing that is white, is a reference to your neshama. If your neshama is soiled, once you return it, there's no laundromat in heaven. The laundromat is here. You can only cleanse your neshama here. You can't cleanse it there. Over there, you arrive as is. So he says, so make sure you're coming home clean. Keep it clean. Now, it's interesting that not everybody learns like Rashi, and of course, it's impossible for me to know what Rabbeinu Bachai meant. We can't know because he comes before Rashi. And what did he mean when he quoted those words? I don't know. I could tell you, for example, that in the words of The Eben Ezer says that bigodecha, your clothing, means shalayiyo masecha migeolim, that your actions should not be soiled. And the truth is that the Eben Ezer's words very much jibe with what the writings, the Kisvi Arizal, referred to mitzvahs as the idea of the levushei haneshama, the garments of the neshama. That's how it's referred to in Kisvei Arizal, and that's how the Alter Rebbe speaks about it in Tanya. He says, machshava, dibur emaisa, thought, speech, and deed, these are the levushim. These are the garments of the nefesh. So you have to make sure your clothing is always clean. So whether it means keep the neshama itself clean, or whether it means that a person should make sure that his actions are clean, the bottom line is keep it clean. The Mitzudas David says something very interesting. He says, guess what? Not only is keep it clean good in the other world, keep it clean is good here too. He says people enjoy wearing clean clothes. Clean living is actually enjoyable. When people have nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of, they're living clean, they're living straight, it feels good. Try it, you'll see. He says, it's true, it actually works. Now, Rashi in Koheles is much, much more elaborate. I mean, in here he just says very simply, keep the neshama clean. Rashi in Koheles says, haskein atzmecha b'cholsho b'maisei tov. Always prepare yourself with good deeds. Im yomos hayom, what if your day today? So he says, Tikonas b'shalom, you enter in peace. U'mishal Shlomo HaChacham, the parable of Shlomo HaMelech here, Shlomo the wise person is. He says, why is he using the idea of clothing? He says, imagine you're going to come to some royal ball, get invited to a wedding, and you show up in dirty jeans. So you feel so stupid. You feel like you're out of place, he says. And you can't find yourself. But he says, you never know when you're getting called to that ball. You never know when you're going to show up there. So come clean. He says, we don't know. Ad eis yikar el asuda. Nobody knows when he walks into that ballroom. So therefore, make sure, begadecha levonim. Make sure you're clean. Make sure it's rachutz. Make sure it's soch. Make sure you're well-oiled. Make sure you're the way you're supposed to be. Rashi doesn't actually talk about neshama here. And he gives us a general euphemism, a general concept. So Rabbeinu Bechaya uses, I mean, in truth, for example, the Sefarno says, this is exactly what our sages meant, shuv yom echad lefnei misasach. There's a cross-reference here. There's the way it shows up in Scripture, and that's the shuv, the b'chol eit yugo b'derech levonim. There's the way it shows up in the Gemara, which is the concept of that you should always be doing tshuva because maybe shema yamos hayayim. And there's the way it shows up in the Mishnah, which is do tshuva the day before you die. But really, Rabbeinu Bechaya says it's one string. It's the same thing. It's just different expressions of the same thing. In the Mishnah, it's very succinct. Do tshuva the day before you die. That's all. I said, 1 second. I don't know what day that is. Oh, great. Okay, so do tshuva every day. That's what I meant. But he doesn't use an elaborate way to say it because that's the nature of Mishnah. Like Rambam says, Mishnah is dvarim ktsarim, short words that have lots of content. The Gemara is more elaborate. The Gemara elaborates on it. And if you look in the scripture, in Kohelet, you have it in metaphorical terms. And here, Rabbeinu Bechaya chooses to state the Mishnah, Shuv Yomech Lefnei Misasach. He chooses to then introduce us to the Gemara, Yoshev Hayom Shema Yomes Lamachav Nimtzah Kayomav B'tshuva. And then he says, Kiddich Siv, ultimately, this is even what is alluded to in B'chol Eisiyo B'gnecha Levanim. I once heard a recording of the Rebbe, and I haven't found it in print, but I know I remember distinctly hearing this recording. And the Rebbe said that there is this idea of B'chol Eisiyo B'gnecha Levanim in the conventional, traditional sense. You never know which day you're going to die. But the Rebbe says there's another way to read that whole story. That is, you don't know which day Mashiach's going to come. And once Mashiach comes, that's it. The jig is up. Can't do tshuva anymore. You can't do mitzvahs anymore because mitzvahs are based on choice. So Mashiach comes, it's like a person sees a fire. He runs away from the fire. He doesn't say, oh, you're such a righteous person. You ran away from a fire. He says, no, he's not insane. A normal person doesn't run into a fire. It's dangerous. When Mashiach will come, a sin will be a horrible thing for us. Going against Hashem, who could do that? We'll see the presence of Hashem. We'll know the presence of Hashem. So therefore, the freedom of choice is essentially lost. And that's why, like it's brought down in Hayom Yom, that the Rebbe Rashad said, there'll be Yomim Sheim Behem Chayfetz, there'll be days in which there's no desire. He said, this is referring to the time of Mashiach because the beauty and the magnificence of what's available to us today, in our struggles, in the trenches, with the Yetzirah, with all the cravings and the lusts and all the inclinations to do all the wrong things, and then you overcome that, that's amazing. It's a wonderful opportunity that's only presented here. Like the Alter Rebbe says in the Igeres HaKodesh, when the sun moves thousands of kilometers in the heaven, the shadow on earth moves a few centimeters. A tiny act on this earth is equal to an enormous change in the heavenly reality. So this doesn't have to be about necessarily death. Ultimately, this could be about the death of our reality today and the ushering in or the birth of a new reality. And that is the reality that we're going to experience together with the coming of Mashiach. It's very interesting that Rabbeinu Yoina, in his commentary on the Mishnah, in Masechet Avot, Rabbeinu Yoina says something quite remarkable. He says, first of all, Rivash, Yaakov Reb Shimshon, a Talmud of Rashi, says that you'll always be doing tshuva this way. He says it's the greatest way to be. You'll always be in a state of tshuva. But Rabbeinu Yoina adds this. He says, because of what the Gemara says, because you're going to have to, you never know which day you're going to die. And because this was Shlomo HaMelech when he said, B'chol Eisiyo B'Yedecha Levanim, he says like this. This was Margilso B'Pumei Rebbe Elezer ben Hyrcanus. Rebbe Elezer ben Hyrcanus would say this all the time. Do you know why I would say this all the time? This is the kind of mindfulness that every person needs always. There's a lot of different mindfulness that we should try to achieve. It's rare that we talk about a mindfulness that we should all endeavor to achieve on a regular basis. He says there isn't a person in the world who can't benefit from this. So Rabbeinu Bechaya says, you want to worry? You want to be anxious? Yeah, those are the things you should be worrying about. Those are the things you should be anxious about. The person with betochen, he doesn't worry about all the other narishkeit. And the amazing thing is that these worries and anxiety do not discolor life, do not make you unhappy, do not make you miserable. On the contrast, or I should say the exact opposite. What they do is they inspire us and they motivate us to live the kind of life that Hashem ordains for us. And when we live that kind of life, ultimately, we are happy. We are happy because this we are created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to serve Him. And when a Yid lives in accordance with the way that Ribbono Shel Olam creates them, this brings them the greatest sense of inner happiness and tranquility and satisfaction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us. We should all be motivated to do the right thing. And we don't have to, if death makes you nervous, then think about the coming of Mashiach. May it be b'mheira o b'yameinu speedily, and in our days, amen. Yasha Koyach, thank you all for joining, and have a beautiful night.